A morning. Today's daf from Pesachim, Lamed Gimel. We're on Lamed Beis Amud Beis. We're going to be starting today towards the bottom of the Amud Va'af Rav Papa Hadar Bay. It's about a dozen lines from the bottom of Amud Beis. Yesterday, the Gemara started with a Mishnah. The Mishnah actually is on Lamed Alf Amud Beis, discussing what happens when you eat Shumash Chametz on Pesach Bishogeg. So really, what we're going to isolate, because there are two Isurim that the Mishnah is describing, one eating chametz on Pesach, the other eating truma. Obviously, the consumer over here is a non-kohen. Under those circumstances, there are two isurim under discussion. And so, honestly, it made yesterday's daf somewhat complex. But we're going to move back past the complexity and just deal with eating truma b'shogeg. If a non-kohen eats truma b'shogeg, so obviously there was no intentional aver that was done. It was absent-mindedness. It was a lack of attention. But nevertheless, though, he ate something that didn't belong to him, it belonged to a Kohen. And so what he has to do, he has to make restitution. Now, under normal circumstances, if you take somebody's money, let's say intentionally, that's called gazlanus, so then you have to return the item that which you stole. If you don't have the item for that which you stole, so then you have to make restitution in terms of paying back its value. So that's clear. However, when it comes to ochel, truma b'shogeg, so the Torah over here introduces us to a novel idea, it's a chiddush, and that is that yes, you do have to pay back the Kohen, but you have to pay back the Kohen with Truma. So that means to say that over here it's not restitution, but rather it's replacement. You got to give back the Kohen fruit, that is eligible to become Truma. So that's a special halacha as it relates to Achilas Truma B'Shogeg. In addition to that, there's also a chomesh, there's also a surcharge. The Torah penalizes you for having eaten the truma, and you have to pay a chomesh. You have to pay 25% on top of that. Yesterday, a discussion in the Gemara in terms of how to assess that which you have to replace. Meaning, it goes without saying. The Torah says that you have to replace it with fruit. And again, the amount of food that you ate, but in terms of establishing the amount of food that you ate, the amount of truma that you ate, is it going to be based on the volume of that which you ate, or is it going to be based on the value of that which you ate? So that was a big part of yesterday's discussion. The Gemara ended up lining that up as a machlokas hatanayim. Towards the halacha of eating truma b'shogeg, so the Gemara yesterday quoted a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Abishal. So this was yesterday's daf on the Amud Beis. So the Tanakhama says that when are you going to be subject to having to pay this Karen B'Chomish payment, the special halacha as it relates to Azar eating Truma B'Shogeg? So according to the Tanakhama, you have to eat a kazayas of it. And the explanation is very simple. When the Torah introduces us to the Sisser of Azar eating Truma B'Shogeg, it says, V'ish ki yochel kodesh b'shkaga. The Torah says that when you have this man, meaning this non-Kohen, who eats kodesh, who eats Truma B'Shkaga. The word achil over here, as it does throughout Shas, means that it has to be an amount and it has to be kezias. So according to the Tanakhama, it must be kezias. Abishal, however, introduced us to a novel idea, and that is that when talking about the Isra of eating Truma B'Shogeg, so it's not going to be a predicate of kezias, but rather it's going to be Shavapruta. Shavapruta, that as long as that which you ate has the minimum value of a pruta, so then you're going to be chayv to pay back Karen V'Chomesh. So, and that was a machlokas that we saw yesterday between the Tanakhama and Abishol. The Gemara went through the source of the Tanakhama, the source of Abishol. Fine. What is each going to do with the other source? We went through all that yesterday. On the position of Abishol, the Gemara yesterday, for a moment, entertained the idea that according to Abishol, you need actually two things. In other words, in order to be chayv Karen V'Chomesh on eating Truma B'Shogeg, it has to A, be a Shavapruta, and B, it also has to be Kazayis as well. So this was a suggestion that the Gemara made. Rav Papa actually made that suggestion, and immediately Rav Papa retracted from that suggestion. He took it back. And the Gemara ended up with the simple understanding of the Machlokas that according to the Tanakhama, the Karen V'Chomish is for a Kazayis. According to Rav Papa, the Karen V'Chomish is for a Shavapruta. This is where we ended up with yesterday. First part of today's Gemara, it's going to be a good part of the first half of today's Gemara, is just simply Makke B'Patish. We're just simply going to hammer home the point that according to Rav Papa, Abishao only requires that the truma be a shavapruta and not be a kezai. So that's going to be what we're going to be handling first. It's going to be a little bit complicated, not too bad. And then afterwards, we're going to be covering a couple of other topics, but I'll introduce those topics when we get there. Ve'af rapapa hadrabein. As we now start with today's daf, we are towards the bottom of Lamed Beis Amud Beis. Rapapa was chozer. Ditanya. The Gemara quotes the following brayso v'chata b'shkagam. The Torah, when talking about the Isra Me'ila, taking Kodesh, misappropriating it, using it for own use. So the Torah says, V'chata b'shkaga pralam ezin. So, and that means to say that the only time that you're going to be chayiv a karban asham for being mol behektish is only when you're shogeg, not when you're mezin. V'alo dinu. Now the Gemara says, now the truth of the matter is, really it's a kavachomer. U'mashar mitzvah shechayiv em karis ha-potram em is amazin. So when it comes to any other Isra, let's take for example, chaylev or dam. Where there, if I did it intentionally, you're subject to kares, and you're not going to bring a carbon if you do so. Be'mezid, me'ila shein ba kares. Now, for the Isra of me'ila, if one were to intentionally violate the Isra of me'ila, so one is subject to misa b'dei shamayim. Now, we just talked about this yesterday. Misa b'dei shamayim is very similar to kares, but as we assumed yesterday, and we're going to assume again today, that Misa B'dei Shemayim is just a couple of degrees below Kares. Right? Both of them mean that a Kares Baruch Hu cuts you off. There's a Ramban and Chumash that breaks Kares down into three categories. There's the Tosos in the beginning of Yevamos that goes over the actual differences between Kares and Misa B'dei Shemayim. But for our purposes right now, they both mean that you're going to be cut off. And the idea behind both of them is that a Kadosh Baruch Hu and you are being cut off from a Kadosh Baruch Hu from the nation of Yisrael. Okay, and Karis is harsher. So the argument of the Gemara is that for something like Dam and Chelev, where if I did so b'mezid, you're going to be chayv Karis, and there's no karban, so Me'ila she'en ba'karis. And when it comes to the Yisrael of Me'ila, where there's no Karis, it's only Misa b'dei shemayim. Eino din shepatros amezid, so for sure should be excused if you do so b'mezid. Good, that's the kavachomer of the Gemara. Now, admittedly, the kavachomer is a little bit of a struggle because over here, what we're trying to establish is whether or not you need to bring a karban for violating me'ila b'mezid. Now, a karban is a chomra. That part's true. It's a financial obligation, but at the very same time, however, it's providing for you a kapara. So the idea over here that the Gemara is just looking at a karban as a chumrah and only as a chumrah, so that's a little bit of a struggle. But nevertheless, the basic idea is that if there's no karban for mezid on isurei kares, so there should be no karban for mezid on chiyuv misa b'dei shemayim, like me'ila. Good, that's the kav chumrah. Lo. So the Gemara says, no, im amad b'shar mitzvah shekein lo chay ba misa tomra b'me'ila shechay ba misa. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know the Kavachomer is no good because maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim is harsher than Kares. Now, obviously, your head should be spinning a little bit right now in that first the Gemara assumed that Kares is harsher than Misa B'dei Shemayim, and then immediately the Gemara turns around, the Gemara says, well, I don't know, maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim is harsher than Kares. So what just happened over here in the Gemara? How did the Gemara just reverse course so quickly? The Gemara is going to ask that question. Stay tuned. Tamalamar, so now that we no longer have a kavachomer, okay, we don't understand why yet, but now that we no longer have a kavachomer, tamalamar bishkaga pralamezid. So fine, so we have a drasha. The Torah says that when it comes to the Isra of Me'ila, so bishkaga comes to teach me that only when you're a shogeg on being mol behektish, then and only then do you bring a karban. But if you are a mezid, you don't bring a karban. Okay. So now that was a brisa. And here we start with the discussion. And again, just a quick reminder for all of us. The only reason why we're going through this brisa and this discussion is because we want to highlight that according to Rav Papa, the chiyuv of Keren V'Chomesh by Truma is only for a Shavapruta, not a Kezai. So it sounds like we are way off course, but as you probably can guess, we're going to come around soon enough to discuss this halach of Rav Papa. But anyway, so in the discussion of this brisa, so the Gemara now asks the obvious question. The Amalei Rav Nachman Yitzchak LeRav Chiya Barav and Haitan Mikara Alimalei Kares Ulevesof Alimalei Misa. What happened in the brisa? First, the brisa said Kares is on top. Kares is harsher than Misa B'dei Shemayim. Then the brisa turned around and said, you know, maybe Misa B'dei Shemayim is harsher than Kares. What is going on over there in that brisa? How did the brisa do that? So the Gemara is going to have three answers to this question. For our purposes and our sugya, we're really interested in the first answer. We're obviously interested in all three answers. But for making the one point that the Gemara wants to make, we're really interested in the first answer. And to which the Gemara says, no, this is how we're going to have to understand the Braisa. Lo. So you know when it comes to Shar Mitzvos, so you're not going to be Chayev for anything less than a Kezayis. Again, think about it. Chay Levdam, so it has to have a Shear. And the Shear, of course, is Kezayis. Tomar B'Mi'ilah, Shechayev B'Misa B'Pachos Mi'Kezayis. Now, what about Mi'ilah? Now, Mi'ilah, when you misappropriate from Hekdesh, so what's the Shear? The Shear is not a Kezayis. The Shear is a Shavapruta. The Torah, when introducing us to Mi'ilah, never mentions the word Achila. It's just simply that you're not allowed to make use of that which belongs to Hekdesh for yourself. And as long as it's a significant amount, what significant amount in terms of usage? So it's a Shavapruta. So Tomar, that's the Kavachomer of the Gemara, in which the Gemara goes in the other direction. How can Mi'ilah be more Chomer than Isurei Kares? The answer is because for Isurei Kares, it has to have a Kezayis, but for Mi'ilah, you only need a Shavapruta. So he says, okay, that's great. This was the conversation taking place between Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak and Rav Chia Bar Avin, and Rav Chia Bar Avin says, oh, that was such a good pshat. Thank you so much. You really helped me understand the Braisa. The Amalei my Nichusa de Rabba. I'm sorry. So Amalei my Nichusa. He says, really, that helps you? It didn't help me. So the Rabba of Rav Sheshes Shadu Ben Arga. Because when Rab and Rav Sheshes heard such a pshat, so they threw a monkey wrench into it, right? Almost a literal translation, but yeah, they threw a monkey wrench into it. So man shamat leida amar, as we are now in the top of Lama Gimla Amad Aleph. Man shamat leida amar, hizid b'me'ilah b'misa. So first of all, let's remind each other, right? You were mazed on me'ilah. Are you subject to misa b'dei shamayim? So the truth of the matter is the Torah never says that. The Torah never says you're going to get misa b'dei shamayim for violating me'ilah b'mazed. It's a machlokas atanayim. Rabbi, so first of all, the fact that we're assuming that there is misa b'dei shamayim for me'ilah, that she does Rabbi, the Tanya, the Gemara here quotes the Braisa, hezid b'me'ilah, if a person is mo'el hektesh b'mezid, intentionally. So Rabbi Omer b'misa, Rabbi says you get misa b'dei shamayim, v'chachamim omrim b'azhara, and the chachamim say it's a lot, but it doesn't have with it misa b'dei shamayim. My time with the Rabbi, and as far as the reason behind Rabbi's concern, I'm a Rabbi Abahu, gamer chay chay mitruma, matruma b'misa, me'ilah b'misa. So it's a gzera shava. So just like truma is a chiyah misa b'dei shamayim that the Torah says beferish, so too me'ilah b'mezid is also going to be misa b'dei shamayim. Umina. Now that we know that the Braisa is going according to the sheet of Rebbe, and Rebbe learns that misa b'dei shamayim from me'ilah is learned through gzera shava from truma. So now mina, let's carry through with the gzera shava. Ma truma b'kezayis av me'ilah b'kezayis. So now, Shuma, what's the shear of Shuma? That's a Kezayis. What's the shear of Me'ila? It's also got to be a Kezayis. Meaning, you are arguing, well, the Chomer of Me'ila is that it's a Shavapruta, it's not a Kezayis. It can't be. Because if you connect the dots, and once you see the dots, it's so easy to connect. Once you connect the dots, the author of the Braisa is Rebbe. Rebbe's of the position that Me'ila b'mezid is the punishment for Me'ilah b'mezid is Misa b'dei shamayim. How does he know that? Because of Gzera Shava. Where does Gzera Shava go to? Truma. What's the shear for Truma? A Kezayis. So therefore the shear for Me'ilah is also going to be a Kezayis. Okay. So once you connect the dots, so now we're stuck. Umaskif l'Rav Papa mi'mai d'Rebbe k'Rabban Svir Lei. And now here comes Rav Papa. And it's right here now, here, that we're interested in this line of the Gemara. Because now let's watch Rav Papa make his point, which is, look, I'm with you. The author of the Braisa is Rebbe. And Rebbe knows that Me'ilah is Chayv Misa B'dei Shemayim because of the Gzera Sheva to Truma. But when it comes to Truma, you're assuming that how much Truma do you have to eat in order to be Chayv Karen V'chomesh? So the amount of Truma that you have to eat is going to be a Kezayis. So on that, Rav Papa says, I don't know. He says, you could very well argue that Rebbe doesn't hold like the Chachamim. Dilma Kabashal Sfirle. Maybe Rebbe holds like Abashal. Dami Yeshba Sheva Pruta. Avagav Deleis B'Kezayis. So Abishol is of the position that as long as it's a Shavapruta, even though there's no Kezayis, you're going to be Chayv Karen V'Chomesh by Truma. So it could very well that Rebbe subscribes to that viewpoint, meaning the viewpoint of Abishol. Okay, and here we are. Meaning, and now we just heard Rav Papa say, you know that Abishol is of the position that to be chayv karen v'chamash and truma, it has to be a shava pruta. Oh, so now the Gemara just makes its point, finishes its point. Rav Papa yesterday's daf, for a moment, entertained the idea that Abishol requires two things, meaning it has to be a shava pruta and it has to be kazayas. So you see clearly over here that Rav Papa rejected from that position, and so therefore our sharpened understanding of Rav Papa, which we said yesterday, but now we're reinforcing today, is that according to Abishol, Yechayv Karen V'Chomish on eating Truma B'Shogeg when it is a Shava Pruta. Not when it's both a Shava Pruta and a Kazayis, it's just simply a Shava Pruta. Okay, now, what we're going to do is we're going to go back to the Braisa regarding Mi'ilah, and we're going to offer two more pshatim in it. As long as we're here, as long as we quoted the Braisa, so it will give the opportunity for the Gemara to go over two more Mahalchim. They're obviously amongst the Amorayim. There were a couple of other Mahalchim in terms of how to understand the Braisa. Again, the Braisa was trying to compare the Mazid of Isuri Karis and the Mazid of being Mol Behektesh. And just like the Mazid of Isuri Karis is no carbon, so too the Mazid of being Mol Behektesh also is not going to be a carbon. And then the Gemara did an about face. The Braisa said, well, maybe Mi'ilah is more chamer because, and then the Braisa said, well, you know, by Mi'ilah, it's Misa Bidei Shemayim, and Dam and Chelav, that's an Isur Karis. Maybe Misa Bidei Shemayim is harsher than Isuri Karis. Now, as we pointed out already, that's really difficult to understand. How did the Braisa do that? Meaning we all know that Karis is more harsher than Misa Bidei Shemayim. And what's the Braisa doing now, doing an about face? And seemingly making a point that's not an accepted point. Okay, so we already offered one suggestion. Now the Gemara is going to offer two more suggestions. Marbere de Ravan Amar Hachi Kamar. So the second suggestion, this is what the Braisa means. Lo. Ima Mar B'Shar Mitzvah Shalom Sabahem. She'in Miskavim Kim Miskavim. When it comes to Shar Mitzvos, there is no equivalency. So Ein Miskavim to Miskavim. She'in Miskavim. Now when we're talking about Shar Mitzvos over here, as will become evident, we're really talking about Shabbos. Okay, so the comparison of the Braisa is Mi'ilah to Shabbos. Now, when it comes to Shabbos, Miskavin and Miskavin are not the same. She Miskavin lachtochas atolosh v'chatochas mechubar. Let's say by Shabbos you do the following. So you have intention to do a maise chaticha, to cut something that you thought was detached from the ground. And meanwhile, v'chatachas mechubar, meanwhile, you were mistaken, and chatachas mechubar, you cut something that was connected to the ground. Now, over here, we're obviously dealing with misafsek. We're talking about the sugya of misafsek, which we discussed back in Shabbos in the 7th perek. Over here, it's a little bit unclear. Did you think that this grain was detached and you cut this grain? Or you were actually going for other grain that was detached, and whatever, you were a small lack of coordination, and you ended up cutting grains that were attached. Either way, the basic idea is you did not do what you were intent on doing. Now, by Shabbos, what do we know? Malachas machsheves. To be chayv on Shabbos, you have to do an action that you were intent on doing. So, by Shabbos, you're not going to be chayv a karban. Shepater. Tomer bim me'ilah shim iskav le'ischameim. Now, when it comes to Mi'ilah, that's not the case. By Mi'ilah, if you thought you were not misappropriating something that belongs to Hekdesh, you were warming yourself with what you thought were wool shearings that belong to Chulin, non-consecrated animals. And meanwhile, what it turned out to be is that it was Gizei Ola, the shearings of a Carbonola. And you didn't know that. And nevertheless, though, you got the Hana. So by Mi'ilah, you're a Mol Behekdesh. That makes Mi'ilah more chamer than Shabbos. By Shabbos, Kavana and Miskavin and Miskavin are not the same. But when, by Mi'ilah, it doesn't matter whether you are Miskavin, whether you are not Miskavin. So therefore, that's the argument that you could say that Mi'ilah is more chamer than Shabbos. And therefore, we could have argued that maybe you do bring a carbon even for a Mazid. And so the point is no. In other words, and that's why we have the Drasha. That's the second way to understand the Braisa. The third way to understand the Braisa, quite frankly, is very similar to the second way. It's just a small degree of separation in terms of how to understand Misasek. Rav Nachman reads the Gemara Hachi Kamar Lo Imamart Bishar Mitzvos Shekein Lo Mitzchayvem Shein Misasek Kim Misasek. So when it comes to Shar Mitzvahs, again, here we're talking about Shabbos, where we do not equate Emesasek Kemesasek, Shemeskaven Lahagbia Esatalosh. So here in the second version, so we're looking where you're not looking to cut, you're not looking to do Amaisa Chaticha, but rather, all you're looking to do is pick up the vegetables off the floor. You thought these vegetables were detached. And so there's not even an intent to cut. And meanwhile, it was connected to the ground, and obviously you detached it from the ground, which would be a malach on Shabbos. Shepater, under those circumstances, you're pater, because again, it's a failure of kavana. Right? The difference between this answer and the previous answer, in that this answer, there wasn't even an intent of chaticha. In the previous answer, you had an intention of chaticha, you were just planning on being chotech something which you thought was talish, not mechubar. Okay, and the truth of the matter is that the degree of separation between this understanding of Mesasek and the previous one, so that is an important point that needs to be fleshed out a lot more. But in the meantime, over here, I'm not going to go into it with any kind of depth, as we're just going to simply run through these answers. These answers are given over here only incidentally because we quoted the Braisa. Now, Tamar Bimila, I'm sorry, I should have first finished. Tamar Bimila, Shimoshi Yadu Lekli, Lito Chefetz. Let's say by Mi'ila, let's come up with a comparable case of Mi'ila. The case of Shabbos is where I look to pick something up off the ground that I thought was detached, and meanwhile I was detached, and meanwhile I was tolish from the ground. Now, in the case of Mi'ila, a comparable case would be where I put my hand into a jar, and I just wanted to take something out. And meanwhile, there was oil of Kodesh that was in the jar, and now I got a good smearing of the oil, and that's benefit. And so you're mo'el. In such a case, you're mo'el behektish. So once again, the point is that by mi'ila, so misasik and a misasik, it doesn't matter. As long as you got benefit, so you're mo'el behektish. By Shabbos, obviously, kavanah makes all the difference. So that's why I would have thought, that's the havamina, I would have thought that mi'ila is more chamor than Shabbos. So even though by Shabbos there's no carbon, by mi'ila there would be a carbon. And that would lead us to the conclusion that perhaps by mi'ila we could say there would even be a carbon, even if it's mazid. And so that the drasha comes to tell me that no, that by mi'ila you only have a carbon b'shogeg, not mazid. Okay, adkan. Okay, that takes us through a slightly challenging part of today's daf, but the basic idea, the one singular point that the Gemara made through all that, is that in Abba Shaul's position, that to be chayv karen v'chomish for eating truma b'shogeg, so the amount that you have to eat is not a kezayis according to Abba Shaul, but specifically a shava pruta. And through that entire discussion that we just had, the Braisa, the understanding of the Braisa, specifically the first approach to understand the Braisa, what we got from there is that Rav Papa reinforced our understanding that according to Abba Shaul, it is the amount you eat is a Shavapruta, not a Kezais. Okay. Amar. We're going to go back to a point that we made in yesterday's daf, and that is that if you have Chametz on Pesach, and you try to be Mafresh Truma from the Chametz, it simply does not work. The truma doesn't take. And so what we're going to be discussing now is for the remainder of this amud, to the top of the amud vase, is what's the source for that and how do we know that? So amamar b'medvar amamar b'mafresh truma b'hich mitza. So if you first were mafresh truma and then it becomes chametz, so then you can have two things. You can have it being truma and you can have it being chametz as well. Aval hifresh chametz truma divrei hakol eino kedusha. However, if it's already chametz, and you try to be mafresh as truma, it does not take, it does not have kedusha. Now the Gemara's question is very simple, minahan amili, good. So the Braisa said it as if it's a davar pashut, but it's not such a davar pashut, and how do we know? How do we know it simply doesn't take? So Amar of Nachma Yitzchak Amakraso, a couple of drushas. Drusha number one, titain lo, velo la'oro. When the Torah says that you have to be mafresh truma, this is in Parshas Korach, when the psukim go through the matnas kuhuna, the various matnas kuhuna, at the end of the episode of Korach, right after Aaron has been ratified by Kadosh Baruch Hu to be the Kohen and his family to have the kuhuna. So then we go over the matnas kuhuna, the 24 matnas kuhuna, and one of them obviously is truma, and the Torah says titein lo, and you have to give it to him, meaning to the Kohen, meaning to him. Really, it's for him, meaning for his benefit. Velo la'oro. If you're giving him something that the only thing that he could do is use it as fuel, that's unacceptable. So Mesav Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua. And by the way, let's make this point really clear. So that means to say that you have to give him something that he can eat, and if all he can do is get benefit from it, So then it's not going to be good. Now, if you think about it over here, chametz on Pesach, so you're not allowed to eat it, you're not allowed to get benefit from it. So it's worse than what we just described. So Tosfos over here points out that this drasha that we just gave is only for Rav Yosef Glili. So Rav Yosef Glili, who's come up already a number of times in this perek, Rav Yosef Glili says that chametz bePesach is mutter behana'a. Ah, so now I would have thought that if I am mafresh truma on chametz according to Rav Yosef Glili, so that would work because it's mutter behana'a. So for that, now we have the drasha. The drasha says lo v'lo la'oro, that you have to give it to the kohen so that he could eat it, and if all he could do is just simply get benefit from it, that is going to be insufficient. That's simply not going to be good. That's unacceptable. Okay. So and Rav Yosef Glili says the chametz is mutter b'hana'a. So here the drasha really speaks to him, meaning for us who does not hold like Rav Yosef Glili, so chametz is nothing. It's not, you can't eat it. You can't get benefit from it. So it's less than or. You can't even use it for illumination. Okay. Anyway, Mesa Ravuna Bereidu Rav Yeshua in Tormim Min HaTemei LaTorah V'in Tarim B'Shogeg Trumas or Truma. So the Gemara says, okay, but can we go over a Mishnah here in Trumos where the Mishnah in Truma says that you're not allowed to be mafresh from Temei onto Tahara. However, if you do so, B'Shogeg Trumas or Truma. So be the evidence, it would work, which means that now you have Truma, which is Temei, which you shouldn't have been mafresh, but Bidi Evid, the Hafrasha stands. And now, what are you giving to the Kohen? You're giving him Truma Temeah. What can a Kohen do with Truma Temeah? He can't eat it. The only thing that he can do is use it as fuel for making illumination, for cooking. But that's it. In other words, he can only get Hana from it. You're telling me that you can't be mafresh something to the Kohen in which all he can do is get Hana from it. The Mishnah Truma says that's not true. So, V'yamai Lema Lo V'lo La'oro Lo Kasha, the Gemara says it's not difficult. So the Gemara says we're going to make the following distinction. Obviously, if it was Tamei, at one point in time it was Tahor. So that means to say that in the Mishnah Trumas we're talking about something that at one point was perfectly eligible to be used as our Hafrasha of Trumas and Maisros. And it becomes Tamei. But at least it had a Shasa Kosher. What the Gemara is now trying to argue is that Chametz never had a Shasa Kosher. And hopefully we're all thinking the same thing right now. What does that mean? How in the world could chametz not have a shasa kosher? By definition, isn't all chametz have a shasa kosher? Before Pesach it's mutter, on Pesach it's aser. Of course it had a shasa kosher. So the Gemara says, "Dula hasel shasa kosher echidami." What's an example where chametz does not have a shasa kosher? That's very strange. And so the Gemara says, "Kigon di'ich mitzvah mechubar." So the Gemara says, "I'll give you an example." And that is, it becomes chametz when it's attached to the ground. But if it becomes chametz when it was detached from the ground, it had a shasa kosher, and that means to say that en achinam, you can be makdish it, you can use it as your truma to be mafresh against all your other produce. Okay, that answer is really challenging. I mean, it's an interesting answer. Meaning what the Gemara has just told us is that the only chametz that I cannot be mafresh truma is only chametz that's attached to the ground, because that's never had a shasa kosher, right? If we're listening carefully to the Gemara, what we're hearing is that while grain is attached to the ground, it can become chametz. Okay, now, how does that work exactly, right? Every time that we're making matzah, so obviously it starts as a kernel. Before it starts as a kernel, it was in its chaff connected to the ground. And the Gemara just told us that when even while the grain is attached to the ground, so if it gets wet and it sits there now in its moisture, it's going to ferment and it's going to become chametz. How is anybody making matzah? Okay, so you understand obviously the Gemara over here just nonchalantly suggested that grain in the ground can become chametz. Obviously that's a bit of a head scratcher. All right, how are we making matzah? What non-chametz grain is out there in the world that you can make matzah from? Okay, so it's more than a reasonable question. There are answers. I'm not going to go through the answers, but just understand that obviously that's a lot to think about right there. So Amar Le'in, so now in the Gemara, the response is yes, meaning that's a great answer. That's correct. B'gzirus irin pizgama uvemaimer kedishin she'ilta. Gemara quotes the pasuk from Daniel. Daniel talks about the malachim. So that right, it's coming from the mouth of the malachim. That's the irin. Maimer kedishin she'elte, meaning these are holy words. What you're saying is absolutely great, absolutely perfect. The chaymor and bebe midrash kava say, and the base midrash is saying that as well. For anything that had a shasa kosher, so that you can be mafresh as trumas amitzros, even though right now it doesn't have a shasa kosher. But when something does not have a shasa kosher, like grain that becomes chametz while connected to the ground, so it never had a shasa kosher, the moment you harvested it, it's already chametz. So for that, you can't be mafresh trumas amitzros. Okay. That is one reason that we know that if the grain is chametz, you can't be mafresh it as truma meiser. Ki asa Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua Amar. So the Gemara now is going to provide a second approach as we turn to the Amud Beis. Amar Kra, the pasuk says Reish Yishira Nikarin LiYisrael Yatzah Zu Shein Shira Nikarin. So Reish comes to teach us the following halacha, that when you separate truma, it is the first, and that means to say that there is going to be that which I separate for the Kohen, that's the Reishis, and of course that means that there's going to be, by definition, be Shirayim. That, those Shirayim have to be Nikarin LeYisrael, have to be something that you and I can eat. If it's not something that you and I can eat, the Truma that I was Mafrish it is by definition not going to be Truma. Good, so as to the question of chametz, where the Brisa said in yesterday's daf, chametz, if you try to be mafresh it as truma, it simply does not take. Why should that be? The Gemara now just gave us two drushes in terms of why should that be. Rav Nachman Yitzchak says, the pasuk says, titein lo, you have to give it to the Kohen, which means that he has to make full usage of it, meaning eating and benefiting. Lo v'lo la'oro. Okay, the Mishnah Trumos seems to suggest otherwise. The Gemara made a distinction. When it had a shasta kosher, when it didn't have a shasta kosher, that's answer number one. Answer number two is Rav Huna b'Rei Rav Yeshua, who says that when the Torah describes truma, it's reishis, which means by definition as shirayim. The shirayim have to be nikarim l'Yisrael, they have to be consumable by us. Obviously, chametz is not consumable by us. Therefore, the reishis, the truma never took. Good. The two drushas. Okay, for the remainder of today's daf, as we are now into the Amud Beis, we're going to be covering a topic that is going to be a little bit off topic, but it's still within the world of Trumas HaMaisros. Yosef Rav Acha Bar Rav Avi. Kameh Rav Chista V'yosef V'yameh Mishmeh de Rav Yochanan. So Rav Acha is sitting in front of Rav Chista and he says over and now the following Torah in the name of Rav Yochanan. Anavim Shenitmu Dorchem Pachos Pachos Micha Beitzav Yenam Kasher Linisachin. So here's a halacha. If you have grapes that become Tameh, so what you could do now is you could press the grapes, extracting the juice from the grape. As long as you do so in increments of less than a kebetza, the yayin that comes out is going to be tahor, kosher. You can even use it for nesachin, right? That's just simply to accentuate, hammer the point that it's perfectly pure. So how does that work? You have a grape which is tameh, and you're squeezing the grape, and that which the juice that's extracted from there is going to be tahor. So how does that work? All right, let's ask the question really simply. If the grape is tameh, isn't the juice contained therein also going to be tameh? So when Rav Yochanan makes a halacha, says a halacha like this, so here's the baseline assumption of this halacha, and that is kasav mashkin mifked pikidi. It must be that the way that we're viewing the liquid in the fruit is that mifkat pekide, it is considered like it's being held independent of the fruit. It's like mifkat pekide, it's like in its own separate pocket within the fruit, but it's not part and parcel of the fruit. The language of mifkat pekide, if you remember the Gemara in Ksuvos towards the beginning of the first parak, the daf tes, I think. Anyway, the Gemara discusses the dam besulim. And same conceptual discussion, and actually the same language as well, whether or not dam is mifkad pocket. But anyway, if you remember the Gemara, great. If not, now is not a good time to go over that Gemara. But anyway, what comes out over here is that Rav Yochanan is viewing the liquid of a fruit, the juice of a fruit, not to be part and parcel of the fruit, but mifkad pekide. Actually, it's compartmentalized within the fruit. It's its own separate entity within the fruit. Now, Being that that's the case, so if the fruit's tummy, the liquid inside is tummy, no. And the reason why is because it's what's called balua. It's absorbed within the fruit, and therefore, while it's inside, and because it's compartmentalized, so therefore it's going to be impervious to tumma. Now, le'imas kam mit'am l'chisachit l'hu. So the Gemara says, now, when you're squeezing it out, so now obviously it no longer is in the state of balua. It's no longer absorbed, it's coming out. As it's coming out, it's now making contact with the skin of the grape. So now at that point of contact, of external contact, so it's going to become tummy then, right? So here, that's where we introduce the idea that is the grape itself is smaller than a kabetza, or if the cluster of grapes I'm squeezing is smaller than a kabetza, so then there's not going to be a transmission of tumma. Transmission of tumma from food to food, or in this case from food to mashke, is only when the transmitter is the size of a kabetza. But if the transmitter is less than the size of a kabetza, there is no transmission of tumma. So the Gemara says, good. So a really interesting halacha by Rav Yochanan predicated on a number of principles. Now the Gemara says, Yachi kebetza nami. The Gemara says, now wait one second. Let's think this through. If the idea is that when I squeeze out the juice, because inside the juice was compartmentalized, so therefore it does not become tummy just because the fruit itself is tummy. And as I'm squeezing it out, because the grape itself, which is tummy, is less than the shear of a kezias, therefore it simply does not have the volume to transmit tumma to the juice that comes out. Fine. I understand that as well. The Gemara says, but if all this is true, really we can push the limits over here, where the amount of the cluster of grapes is actually the shear of a kabetza, an exact kabetza. So the Gemara says, Yachi kabetza nami, didnan. Why don't we consider the following Mishnah, which is Tamei, mace. You have somebody who's an avatum, a shesachat, zeisim va'anavim, kabetza b'chuvenes, tarim. Where he were to squeeze zeisim va'anavim, and it is kabetza b'chuvenes, it's the exact size of a betza, so tarim. So it's going to be tar. Now, exactly how does that work? Meaning, the moment that he touches the grapes, don't they become tummy? He's a tummy mace, which means that he's an avatama. So Rashi over here points out that he's not touching the actual liquid itself. He squeezed it with pshute kli eitz, right? He with wooden flatware, says Rashi. It does not transmit tumma. The only thing that could potentially be transmitting the tumma is only the grapes themselves. The grapes themselves are tameh, meaning he handled the grapes, he just never touched the liquid. So the grapes themselves are tameh, and there's no tumma transmission from the grape to the juice. Now, why is there no tumma transmission from the grape to the juice? Because right now the grapes are exactly a kabetza. The moment the first drop of liquid comes out, obviously, right, there is a transfer of volume from the cluster of grapes to the liquid. And so therefore, the cluster of grapes now, the first drop comes out, immediately is diminished to below the threshold of a kabetza. So the Gemara says, so over here, as we're saying over the halacha Rav Yochanan, everything checks out. It's just, why did he say that the amount that you have to squeeze is less than a kabetza? Why don't we go all the way to the end? Let's hit the limit. Let's say it's an actual, the shear of the fruit is an actual kabetza. So Hasam, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. The Avid, hachalechatchila, gzera dem aslam eved, yosem echabetza. The Mishnah Taharos is telling us the halacha. And in fact, it's absolutely correct. Even if the fruit that I squeeze is the shear of a kabetza, the moment the first drop comes out, so the shear is less than a kabetza. Oh, that's true. But look, you're right at the limit. Right? The Chachamim were concerned that if you do that, you're going to end up squeezing a fruit that's greater than a kabetza. So as a gzera, the Chachamim did not ideally say that one should do this. Bidi-Evit, it works. The Mishnah in Taharos is describing the Bidi-Evit scenario. But lichatchila, if someone comes and asks you, right, how could I squeeze these tummy grapes and extract tahor juice? And so the answer is, Rav Yochanan will tell you, that use a cluster of grapes that are less than a kabetza, so that way you never get to this problem. Good. Amalei Rav Chista. Now, this halacha of Yochanan was presented in front of Rav Chista. If you recall, third line down of the Amud, so Rav Acha bar Rav Avya presented this halacha of Rav Yochanan to Rav Chista. Rav Chista now reacts to hearing this halacha. Amle Rav Chista man tzais lecha ule Rav Yochanan Rabcha. So Rav Chista over here, all right, strongly opposes. And he says, who's going to listen to you? Who's going to listen to your Rebbe, Rav Yochanan? Where do you think the tumah goes? You think that the liquid inside becomes immune to the tumah, protected, shielded from the tumah? So amakas avar mishkan mivla bli. And so Rav Chista fundamentally disagrees with how to look at the juice contained inside of a fruit. He says it's not mifkad pocket, it's not compartmentalized within the fruit, but rather it's balua. It's part and parcel of the fruit. It just happens to be inside. They came into itmele uchla itmele mashkin. The moment that the fruit becomes tamei, so does the liquid become tamei as well. Amale v'alo tizra demashkin mifkad pekita v'atanan. Now Rav Acha turns back to Rav Chista and he says, look, I understand you disagree, but I don't understand how you're disagreeing. Can we review the Mishnah again, that Mishnah Taharos that we saw about 10 lines earlier? Let's review that Mishnah again, shall we? V'atanan, tamei meisha sachat zeitzim v'anavim mechuvenes kebeitza taharin. That if I have a tamei meis who's squeezing the grapes or the olives, and as long as the grapes and the olives are exactly the shear of a kebeitza, no more, so then when I'm extracting that first drop that comes out of there, that first drop that comes out of there now is going to diminish the shear to less than a kebeitza, and therefore there's no transmission of tumah from the fruit to the juice that comes out. Okay, now, that juice that comes out is tahor. That's what the Mishnah Taharos says. So the Mishnah Taharos clearly is endorsing that the correct conceptual way to look at the juice inside of a fruit is that it's mifkad pekidi, it's compartmentalized. It's separate from the fruit. And the only chance that it has to become tamei is only after it's extracted from the fruit. But you have the technical issue over here that the fruit, once it's extracted, the fruit itself is less than a kebeitza, and any food less than a kebeitza simply does not have the ability to transmit tumah. It's pretty clear from that Mishnah Taharos that the correct way to look at the juice inside of a fruit is mifkad pekidi, not mivla bli. How do you, Rav Chista, understand that Mishnah Taharos? It's a really strong question. So, and the Gemara here just spells it out. So why should it be tahor according to you? If you're looking at the juice inside as not something compartmentalized, but part and parcel of the fruit. So the Gemara says, okay, so here's what I'll tell you. You see that Mishnah Taharos? Let me try to explain to you how to understand that Mishnah Taharos. And that is that the grapes under discussion are not mukhshar lekabel tumah. They never themselves came into contact with the liquid. So at this point in time yet, they're not yet susceptible to tumah. Now, la'emas miskashre lechisach iluhu. So actually now, as you're squeezing the juice out of it, so the juice that you're squeezing out of it, so can't that function as a machshir? So the Gemara says, kisach iluhu, batzer luhu shi'urei. So the Gemara says, so I'll tell you why. Because now, as you're squeezing the juice out, so remember, the fruit itself was exactly the shear of a kebeitza. And so now, once you squeeze the juice out, so now the fruit has diminished to below being a kebeitza, and that now there's no ability for a transmission of tumah. That's the way to understand the Mishnah Taharos, meaning that according to Rav Chista, the Mishnah Taharos, why is there no transmission of tumah? Because the grapes under the discussion, it gives no kimta. The grapes under discussion were not mukhshar lekabel tumah, and the only time they were mukhshar lekabel tumah is only at a point where they no longer are transmittable, they're no longer conductors of tumah, because it's less than a share of a kebeitza. Kisach lu basalu shiira, dilo tema achi adetanya. The Gemara says, look, and Rav Chista says, I'm convinced that I'm right, because remember what we did a couple of days ago in the daf? Actually, one day ago in the daf. Without going through back over what the context was, we were trying to give examples of things that are just perfectly useless, like the juice that comes out of truma tamea, where the truma under discussion was a strawberry or it was a grape, and the juice that comes out of it is useless. You can't eat it because it's truma tamea. And these things don't burn, right? Strawberry juice and grape juice don't burn. And as we pointed out, the Gemara didn't make this point super clear, but Rashi did. As we pointed out, you can't even use it for ziluf. It's not aromatic. So it has no use to it whatsoever. Now, ha-heter achila nami isbein. So the Gemara says, now wait one second. Now Rav Chista says to Rav Acha, let's say you're right. Let's say there's a way of extracting the juice out of these tamei fruit. So if you're right, so you understand that there's a way of salvaging the fruit, the juice inside. Why don't you just simply squeeze it of clusters that are smaller in size than that of a kabeitza? So based on your thought process, it should be that there's a way of being able to salvage the juice inside. So Rav says, no, I'm not gonna concede the point, because the Chachamim did not want us to do that. They were afraid that even though there is a maneuver in terms of extracting the juice from these tamei fruit and doing so where the juice itself remains tahor, but the Chachamim did not want to endorse that kind of position, because again, you have to be skillful. You have to be knowledgeable. You have to be skillful, right? Every time you squeeze it, it has to be less than the shear of a kabeitza in order to extract all that liquid from inside. And somebody can, yes, a person can do it, but will a person successfully do it? The Chachamim were not optimistic. So, Amalei Abaye Umichai Shila Takala V'Atanya. So Abaye says, are we really worried about Takala? Are we really worried about the lack of skill that people have in terms of successfully navigating through halacha, where you have Truma Temeya, and we're worried that people are just simply not going to know how to handle it? And if you leave it around too long, you have the chance of a kohen possibly eating it. However, why don't we consider the following brisa? Malikim apasav shemesh shel truma shenit meis. That if, let's say, you have bread. Now, this part I really don't understand. Bread over here as a fuel. Okay, all right, I'm not really sure how that works. But anyway, but you could use bread as a fuel. You could use oil. I understand. You could use oil of truma temeya, and you could use it as a fuel. So why aren't you worried about tekala in those cases? So Amarle, he says, I'll tell you why. Because you could put yourself in a situation where there's not going to be an accident. Amarle pazarek le ben aitzim. So as far as the bread is concerned, you throw it into the wood. So therefore, no one's going to eat the bread. It's disgusting. And shemesh shel truma, so ramele bekli maos. And with the shemesh shel truma, you'll just simply throw it into a dirty, disgusting kli, where no one's gonna go ahead and eat and consume that oil, and the only thing you're gonna do now is use it as fuel. So you can put yourself in a better vantage point, in a more comfortable position where there will not be tekala. You're not gonna come to eat the truma temeya. Okay, at time we're gonna stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the word gufa, and let's recap. Let's review. Our daf today, if we could break it down to three topics. One, we spoke about Rav Papa, where even though he suggested that according to Abishol, to be chayv keren v'chomish for eating truma b'shogeg, so Abishol says you have to eat the amount of a sheva pruta. And for a moment in yesterday's daf, Rav Papa said two things. In other words, Abishol says it needs to be sheva pruta, and it needs to be the size of a kezayis, because the Torah says achila, but Rav Papa retracted. And the first part of today's daf is by studying a braisa regarding comparing the carbon for Me'ilah, the carbon for Chiyuve Kares, and the Braisa said that Kares is more Chamer than Misa. Then the Braisa turned around and said that Misa B'dei Shemaim is more Chamer than Kares. What's happening in that Braisa? So without going back into all the details, there were a lot of details. So without going back into all the details, what came out from that back and forth is that Rav Papa retracted from his own suggestion, and that according to the Shita of Abishol, right? It's amazing how we got from the Braisa to this point, but we did. According to Abishol, Abishol's position is to be chayev Karen v'chomish on eating truma b'shogeg. You only need to be a sheva pruta. It does not have to be kezayis. Okay. The Gemara went through a couple of other ways how to understand the Braisa in the Me'ila versus Chiyuv Ikares. Okay. The second topic of today is that we learned in a Braisa in yesterday's daf that if I have chametz, where it's already chametz, and I try to make that truma, the truma simply doesn't take. Now, the Braisa said it yesterday, and the Braisa didn't flinch. Now, the Gemara today just wanted to backtrack a little bit. Like, how do we know that? Where's the source of that? And the Gemara today's daf has two sources. One, titein lo, lo velo la'oro. You have to give it to the Kohen The truma that you have to give to the Kohen has to be something which is consumable by the Kohen, and this is not consumable by the Kohen. Okay, and we briefly discussed the fact that chametz on Pesach, not only not consumable, you can't even get benefit from it. Okay, so, and we quoted the Tosfos. Anyway, the second possible source for this halacha is that the Torah describes truma as rachis, which by definition means shirayim. Shirayim has to be consumable, rachis also has to be consumable. Okay. And the last topic that we discussed today, which really takes us far away from psachim, chametz, is the question of, if I have a grape that's tamei, is there a way of extracting the juice from the grape where the juice is tahor? Rav Yochanan says, absolutely. In fact, so tahor, you can even use it for nesachim, right? As part of the avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. Okay, meaning, yes, super, really tahor. And how do you do so? So you squeeze it where the clusters of grapes are less than the shear of a kebetza. And this led to a fundamental discussion and debate in terms of how to look at the juice inside of a fruit. Is it mifka pekida? Is it compartmentalized? Which is clearly the opinion of Rav Yochanan. Rav Chista, on the other hand, says, no, mivla bli. No, it's not compartmentalized. It's actually part and parcel of the fruit. If the fruit's tamei, the juice inside is also tamei. And then, of course, we dealt with the issues of how to understand the Mishnah Taharos. We quote the Mishnah Taharos a couple times today on the Amud Beis. For Rav Yochanan, the Mishnah Taharos, right, with pun intended, the Mishnah Taharos flows. Okay, thank you. All right, it really works out well according to Rav Yochanan. For Rav Chista, it doesn't work out as well. But the Gemara gave a pshat in the Mishnah Taharos, even according to the position of Rav Chista. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with the words Gufa.